You know, there is that tradition that if someone drops a Torah, you have to fast for 40 days. That's what I was referring to, although you are allowed to eat at night. And by the way, because we're Jews, there is a loophole, which is if you give to tzedakah, you can get out of it. I was going to talk a little bit about Purim, which is this week. And you know that Purim perfectly fits that joking description of Jewish holidays, which is that every Jewish holiday is they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. And that's basically, I mean, it's Pesach, it's Purim, it's all of them. But one of the things that strikes about Purim that I wanted to mention today was, first of all, that thematically, obviously, it carries resonance today as well. That is the threat of the destruction of the Jewish people, which emanates from what was then ancient Persia. And also the theme of reversal, which is what happens in Purim in general. That is, Haman plans the destruction of the Jews, and Haman is the one who ends up being destroyed. The Jews are going to be subordinate, and they end up being triumphant. And even, by the way, this is followed in the Midrash, in the rabbinic literature. That is, the plan to kill the Jews was supposed to have been concocted on the 7th of Adar, which just passed this past week, which is the birth and the death of Moses. And the reason that that's so is that Haman, according to the rabbi, said, oh, I will plan to destroy the Jews on the 7th of Adar, because that's the day already that's bad for them because their greatest leader died on that day. But this shows the danger of too little knowledge. What Haman didn't realize is that Moshe had also been born on that day, so that ultimately, even though it was a sad day, it was happier than it is sad. Again, that theme of reversal, the idea that exactly what bad people intend, the opposite is what happens. And so that's the theme of Purim, but it also is the theme, as you heard, of the Shabbat Zachor, because Amalek, which is sort of the paradigmatic quintessential enemy of Israel, the ones who went after the stragglers in the wilderness, we are commanded to do what? To wipe out their memory, right? You should destroy Zecher Amalek, the memory of Amalek, and then we're told, Al Tishkach, don't forget. Don't forget to wipe out their memory. Which again is paradoxical, just as when you talk about somebody who's truly awful, what do you say in Hebrew after their name? You say, Stalin Yamach Shemo, which means, may his name be obliterated. But you say that only after you say Stalin's name. And the same thing is true during the Megillah. When do you make a noise? At Haman. So which name do you have to pay attention to more than any other? Haman. People always notice when Haman's name comes up. They don't always notice when Mordechai's name comes up, because they don't have to do anything when Mordechai's name comes up. And so there is built into sort of the structure of the holiday this paradox that on the one hand, you want the idea, the memory, the terribleness of what has been done to you by your enemies to be wiped out. But on the other hand, the only way that you can ever ensure that it will be mitigated or ameliorated or made better is if you don't forget it. Because there's greater danger in forgetting it than there is in remembering it. And so at the same time, we're told you have to wipe this out, but the only way to wipe it out is to constantly remember that it happened. So maybe what the rabbis, what the Torah is trying to say is you have to wipe out that tendency in the world, but the only way to do that is to remember always that the tendency exists. Not to be naive, not to be gullible, not to assume that people can't be evil, because that actually, paradoxically, is a way to ensure that evil will be triumphant. It's sad, but it's certainly a lesson that history has taught us again and again and again. And if you don't believe me, just read the newspaper on any given morning or watch the news on any given morning, and you will see that the lessons of Purim are painfully enduring even today. But But as eventually the enemies of Israel were defeated in ancient times, and that proved to be good for the world as well as for Israel, so we retain that hope that that will be true today and always. And with that hope, let's invite everybody in.